you and I to fear not, okay, to not be caught up in the tragedies of being held back by fear. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We are humbled before you in your presence and your power and grateful for it, Father, that you do in our lives what we cannot do, that we just trust in you, we lean on you so much so that if you weren't there, we would fall down. And Father, we know that we need you in such a way, Father, to hold us up, to continue us on the path that you have for us and to lead us in the way everlasting, to lead us in the plan that you have for us all the way to heaven and beyond, Father. We're grateful for it. We thank you for it. Use your word this morning to speak to us deeply, Father, and to speak loud and clear, Father, in the ways that we need to know and understand to hear what you're speaking to us about our destiny in Jesus, our faith and the walk that we have with you, Father. We trust you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So God has blessed us as Christian believers with an immense number of blessings, outstanding blessings, things that go beyond what, you know, the world, God blesses, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. I know farmers back when I was a kid, they were some of the vilest, foulest guys you'll ever meet, but it still rained on their fields just like it did mine, you know, or my dad's. And so it just, they're going to get some blessing. But as a Christian believer, as someone that willingly, openly accepts, believes, receives God, Jesus, Holy Spirit into their life, there's some tremendous blessings that go be above and beyond anything the world is ever going to know or understand. So even as much as I know about the grace of God and have been walking in grace and receiving His favor, and as much as I feel like I know, I'm probably only walking in, I figure, maybe a quarter or a fraction of the amount of blessing that God wants me to be walking in. It's that much. And so as we can learn about it and figure out how do I open myself up to receive more of it, because why not walk in all that God has for us? Why walk in just some of it? So as I prayed several days in a row, I was seeking the Lord and just having conversation with Him, not just specifically asking one time and then waiting, but I had conversation with God several days in a row about what it is that holds people back from walking in the fullness that He desires. Why do we do that? What is it that, you know, He wants to bless us? He says, what is that scripture that it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, right? He wants to bless you. So what is it that holds people back? Okay, and as I was praying and talking to God, I repeatedly heard one four-letter word that kept coming up in these conversations, and it was that four-letter word of fear. F-E-A-R, okay, and fear, it's also known as worry, okay, anxiety, okay, you can throw doubt in there as one of the substitutes for that word, because fear is doubt, okay, when we're walking in fear, we're walking in doubt of the Almighty God, His ability and His capacity to take care of us, and it is that, it's anxiety, worry, and doubt that is crippling Christians, and hindering many from running the race that God has set before them to run. Okay, 63 times in a King James Bible, God and His prophets are quoted directly as saying, fear not. Okay, they're telling people, fear not. Okay, and then going on to relate it to God, because fear not, because your God is with you. Fear not, the Lord is among you. You know, fear not. Okay, once in one occasion, in one instance, as I was studying this out about that fear and fear not, you know, why did they tell him to fear not? What does that mean? As I studied that, I studied on the unwarranted fears of man. Okay, what is it that was holding people back? And one of those instances is when God's people were right on the verge of a tremendous blessing, the promised land. They were right there, ready to go in. God had made it possible for it to happen, but they refused to accept it because of fear. Okay, and so I looked that up and I studied through that, and that's what we're going to get, some of those scriptures this morning. As Moses recaps that story, okay, and as he's kind of, the first chapter of Deuteronomy, he's reminding them how God had set them up for success. God set them up to be right at that point. God had given them victory over their enemies time after time again. Okay, bringing them to that exact time and place that they were at right there on the edge of going into the promised land. Okay, and then Moses reminds the people that God had promised them that this was going to be yours. Long time before, God had promised them that this land filled with milk and honey and blessings was theirs. And then he tells them, so go in and partake of it. Go in and take it. And we see that first scripture this morning is in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 8. He says, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them and to their seed after them. And then he reminds them about how God had multiplied them to vast numbers. God had blessed them so that they would be empowered to conquer anyone that would come against them as they went in. Okay, and that's Deuteronomy 1:10. It says, the Lord your God has multiplied you. And behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he has promised you. Okay, so he's telling them that God has set you up for success right here and now, on this very moment. You're blessed. God has blessed you up to this point. He has made you more numerous than the stars. He's got you to the place where you need to be. And then Moses goes on to tell them a few verses later in 1:21. He says, behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, fear not, neither be discouraged. Don't hesitate. He's telling them, he's kind of saying, you know, this is what God has set you up for. And God, remember, God says, fear not, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed. So finally, the people respond to Moses. Okay, they're hearing what he's saying, kind of like you're doing this morning. They're hearing him out. They're hearing what he's saying. And finally they say, you know what? What God has spoken is good for us to do, right? They come to the conclusion, we should do this. If God is saying this, Moses is reminding us of it, then this is good stuff. We should do what God has spoken because it is good for us to do that. So they begin to put things in motion to go in and possess the promised land. But right then, right after they believe God and they say, yep, this is good stuff. We need to follow God's word. And then, right then, when it's go time, something happens that holds them back. Okay? They lost their faith in the promises of God and the promises of his word, and they were gripped with fear of both the known and the unknown. Okay? And I say it that way because it's one thing to be afraid of a big old giant bear that's standing in front of you. And it's another thing to be afraid of bears in general, that you don't even know where they're at. They're out there somewhere. Okay, they're two different kind of fears. And it's one thing to know what's in front of you, and it's another not to know. But God has not given us a spirit of fear in any capacity of those kind of ways, right? Right then, it's go time, but they get gripped by this fear. Rather than just taking God at his word, they decide to send some spies into the land, if you remember the story, and see if it really was as good as God had said it to be. They're starting to question, does God really have these blessings for us? They figured that they needed a little bit more information, okay, both about the pros, you know, how good is it going to be, but also they wanted to know what challenges were going to be there. You know, what are the consequences? You know, what's it going to take to get to this, you know, supposed good stuff? So they decided they need more information. I don't know about you guys. Like, if I buy a phone or, you know, the new smartphones, I research on them for months before I'll finally buy one. Or if it's cars or whatever, I had it narrowed down. Somebody, you know, I drive a Charger. I had narrowed it down to a Dodge Charger or a Jeep Rubicon and spent back and forth months. Ask Margie. It was probably kind of nutty. Researching, you know, which one and, you know, all these different factors in them. Because I like to know both the pros and the cons, okay? And then make a decision based on whatever looks the best in the end, right? No, just kidding. But you basically, you try to get more information. I think that's kind of human nature. You know, I think that, yeah, Bob's got his Corvette shirt on. He knows what he's getting next. Amen. But it's kind of a human nature that we like to know stuff, right? We like to know what's coming, both the good and the bad. Okay, so I'm not saying that that in itself is not necessarily the bad thing. It's not wrong to ask for more information from God or to have him lay things on your heart. But he does expect us to go forth by faith. Okay, and believing in something we can't see, we don't know what's going to come, how it's going to end up. We just know. When Margie and I moved here, I didn't know anything. I knew God said, go to Rollins. Okay, that's what I knew. And so go back, quit the job, put things in motion back there so that we could move here and put it all, made it happen. I didn't know where it was going to go or what was going to happen, but here we are, you know, many, many years later, and we're still in Rollins, thank God, doing what God has called us to do. But rather than taking God at their word, at his word, what the Israelites did here is they sent spies into the land. And they found out that the promised land wasn't unoccupied. It wasn't like just, let's go waltz into the promised land and enjoy all the good stuff. They go in and they find out that there's some big, strong people in the land that are going to have to be conquered in order for them to possess it. Well, if they had listened to Moses' speech, he was beefing them up for it, saying, remember, God helped you conquer your enemies. God has multiplied you. God got you to this point. Let's go get it. And he had got them right to that point. Well, at this point, they go in and say, oh, they come back. No, there's big, strong people in the land. It's going to be harder for them to possess than just waltzing in there. So a lot like it is in your walk with God today. Okay, you have to believe the promises and believe the word of God more than you believe what you see. Because at that point, it was still the promised land no matter what. God had already said that, already given it to them. They just had to go possess it. But it meant that they were going to have to do a little bit of battle along the way. Okay, God has your best interest in mind. And so if he has given you a promise, it's a good promise. And he is saying that this is what I want you to do. Go in and take this. Go and possess it. But you have to walk by faith, trusting that God will do what God said he would do. Okay, that's what faith is. God had promised them that the land was theirs. He had promised them victory. He had promised them success and blessing. But when it came down to it, there was one wrong belief about their relationship with God that held them back. Okay, remember, they're all geared up. Moses got them ready. Something happened that stirred up that fear. Okay, they did not believe that God loved them that much. Because yes, there was giants in the land, but there was also some really good stuff in that land. And it was going to be worth it if they could go in and conquer that. And they knew that, but it was so good that they didn't believe that God loved them that much. In fact, they let fear rise up to the point that they figured that God had brought them to that specific point just to allow them to be destroyed by their enemies. Because they figured deep down, this is a deep-rooted fear that they had, they figured that deep down, God was still mad at them because of the mistakes that they had made in the past. And that not only that, but they figured God actually hated them. And that he brought them to that point just to get their hopes up, just to show them what's there so that he could crush them. And there's Christians that live like that today, where you believe you get to a point that, you know what, God is starting to bless my life, but it's too good to be true. Something's got to be wrong. God must be bringing me here. He's going to crash this so that I'll learn my lesson and I won't get so excited about things anymore. And they live their life that way at this constant get to the point of a huge blessing and success, but then back off because of a fear that it just can't be this good. The income can't be that good, or the blessings in a relationships can't be this good. And they begin to back away from it. As Moses describes this situation, he says this in Deuteronomy 1:26. He says, notwithstanding, you would not go up, but you rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you murmured in your tents and said, it is because the Lord hated us that he brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. So even though that God had given them repeatedly victory over their enemies and had multiplied them to the point, such a number that they were assured to dominate and to succeed over any opponent they came across, they let fear and insecurity keep them from their destiny. They let him get it right to that point, but they let it rise up. And their insecurity with God, that he really couldn't love me that much. And they let that hold them back. Now, you know, today the scripture says that God has given you great and precious promises. God has blessed you with everything that you need for life and godliness. He has blessed you to be above and not beneath. He has given you these promises, but in order to receive the promises, that God has given you, you have to believe that He loves you. Okay? He didn't just send Jesus to die for somebody else or to die just for the heaven thing. He sent Jesus for you so that He could bless you in spite of you. Okay, if that makes sense. He did it because He wants to bless His people. So He said, they're going to keep messing up on occasion. I need to figure out a way to bless them anyway. He sent Jesus to make that happen so that He could bless you in spite of yourself. If you think that somebody doesn't love you, if you think that they don't like you, okay, think of somebody, put somebody in your mind. You're thinking, they don't like me, they've never liked me, they're always against me, and I just don't think that they will ever like me. You're not going to be expecting that person to do something nice for you. Okay, now these guys had lived their life, yes, God would bless them a little bit, but, you know, He was also still God, and so they continued to see Him with this some sort of a reverence, you know, where they reverence God, but at the same time they were afraid of Him because God could squash them like a bug kind of thing. This is Old Testament. So they're thinking that, you know what, I just don't know that God really loves me that much, that this really couldn't happen. Well, if you think about that, if you know of somebody and you don't think that they like you, you don't expect them to do nice things for you. And every time something bad happens, though, you'll think, yep, see, I knew they hated me. I knew this is the way they would treat me. I knew that this was going to happen. I knew they were going to do mean things to me. Okay, right? I mean, that's, you just expect that. They don't like me. Of course they're going to be deceiving, or of course they're going to do mean things. But when something good happens from that person, if you don't think that they like you, you're not going to be very grateful of it, because now you're suspicious. Now you're thinking, why did this happen? This must have been a fluke. This must have been some kind of an accident. And that's what these guys were thinking. They're right there, ready to walk in and receive this huge blessing, but they're thinking, some of those blessings in the past, they were probably just a fluke. It was probably an accident. God just liked us for a moment, you know, and now He's back to not liking us. They thought God hated them, right? So that's kind of where they're at. They really didn't mean to do something nice to you or to bless you. It was just an accident. That's the way people think. But if you turn that around and you start seeing somebody that they like you, okay, think of somebody that loves you and they care for you, and now when they do something nice for you, you're grateful for it because you appreciate it. Okay, it sort of melts your heart every time that they bless you. It strengthens your appreciation and your gratitude. Okay, it sort of bonds you together with them and solidifies the love that is between you. Okay, now some of you have been in relationships for quite a while, and you may be able to relate to this, but when Margie and I were first courting, we met in Laramie and got to courting a little bit, and I'll tell you, that first few weeks, I couldn't think of anything else but Margie, right? And I think she was doing a little of that same stuff with me. She wouldn't admit it, maybe, but you start thinking about them all the time. You remember that kind of an infatuation? And so I would hang on every word that she said and just look for opportunity to bless her. I just wanted to be a blessing to her. So, well, I remember one day she mentioned kind of in casual that, you know, I should probably get some apartment or some plants for my apartment someday. Okay, just kind of in a passing moment. That was all it took for me. That was a perfect three-week anniversary or something, right? To go get a plant and bless her with that. I think I hung it on her doorknob, if I remember right, with that one. Just to bless her, just constantly. I made her CDs, you know, worship CDs. She was coming out of stuff that, you know, she didn't, in my opinion, she didn't know how to worship God. And so I was helping her along with her walk with God and giving her materials and a Bible and different things. But as I'm doing that, it was bonding me and her together because she knew that I liked her. And so as I gave her things, it's like, yes, He does like me. And it just bonded that. Well, now it's still going back and forth. We just celebrated 15 years. So 15, 16 years later, we're still doing that for each other in that kind of a bonding by the blessing because we like to bless each other. An example would be, if I call Margie and it's the middle of the morning and I'm already having a tough day, things are not going good and, you know, I'm kind of grumbly or whatever, and I go throughout the day and I come home at the end of the day and she has made one of my favorite meals. She's got the boys tucked away in the bedroom so they're not out bugging to go do stuff or whatever, and I can just kick back and she just blessed me in a huge way. And I'll tell you, that tells me she cares about me, She loves me. She was thinking about me all day long in order to make this stuff happen. That's what God is trying to do to you. He wants to bless you all day long and he's thinking about you, he's caring about you and wanting to do good things for you so that when he does and you receive that, it'll melt your heart a little bit more and that little feeling of he really does love me comes out when we see those blessings and we begin to receive them. So God's word for his people back then was fear not. Don't be afraid, but fear not. Go forth and receive of that blessing. And his word for you today is fear not. Okay, know that he loves you tremendously and that he wants to bless you. You know, as the Apostle Paul, a good example, but as he was encouraging Timothy in his walk, he was encouraging him to press ahead, to pursue the calling that God had upon him. He reminds him of this, 2 Timothy 1:7. He says, Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Okay, God has not given us the spirit of fear to be afraid of doing things or afraid of him. God does not want you to be afraid of anything because he is with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. His word to his people on the verge of the promised land when they became afraid of the giants in the land, this is what he said to them, Deuteronomy 1:29. He said, dread not, neither be afraid of them, for the Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall fight for you. And he was saying, you're not alone in this. It's not you against the world. You have to live your life today like you're not alone. It's not you that has to get everything perfect at work, and it's not you that has to do everything successful in your relationships or whatever it is. You are not alone. You have the Almighty God, the power of God within you to help you to do things. If it was just you against your circumstances or you against anything or everything that you face in life, it's going to be a problem. You're going to fall short. But with God, all things are made possible. There's nothing too big for him, nothing too hard for him, nothing too difficult that he can't do. Another example is encouragement that God has given to Isaiah. Okay, these are great men, Timothy and Isaiah, but they needed some encouragement. And that's what we get, again, through the word. But he's encouraging Isaiah to, again, fulfill the calling that is on your life. And he tells him this in Isaiah 41:10. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold thee in that right hand, with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish. Thou shalt seek them and shall not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing and as a thing of nothing or of naught. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, for I will help thee. This is, he's encouraging him not to, you know, go and conquer the land necessarily, but he's saying, fulfill the calling that I've got on your life. And this is what he's saying, fear not, I am with you. Fulfill, step forward, go ahead, take that next step. Because if it was just you, you'd be in trouble. But God is with you, and he loves you immensely. He is with you right here, right now, to help you in and through any situation that comes up in life. So what are you afraid of? You know, what is it in your life that you're afraid of? Is it an addiction or a besetting sin, something that you think is too strong for you to overcome? Are you afraid you'll never see a victory over it? Are you afraid of one more failed attempt to overcome it? That's a fear of failure, which is one of the main reasons that people don't step into their God-given destiny, is a fear of failure. What if I try and don't make it? What if it doesn't happen? And we begin to hold back because of that fear. But remember what God has given you, and remember what God has not given you. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7? For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God has given you the spirit of his power. Okay, just like he was telling the Israelites that he had ensured their success by strengthening them and multiplying them so that when they came time to battle, they would see the victory. God has done a work in your life to prepare you to be successful. He has empowered you to see victory in every area of your life. So what are you afraid of? Are you intimidated by a better job? You know, maybe it has more responsibilities and, you know, the pay would be great, but you're just not sure if you could handle it or not. Maybe you're afraid you aren't smart enough. Or maybe you don't have the right experience. Or you're afraid that you would fail. You'd make a big confused mess of it all if you'd stepped into that role. But God has not given you the spirit of fear. He has given you the spirit of power and of a sound mind. Okay, that term sound mind in the Greek is sophrisno, and it means discipline, self-controlled, in order. It means that you have the capacity to think soundly, to know what you need to know when you need to know it. God will empower you to have that at that moment. 1 Corinthians tells us that you have the mind of Christ. Okay? By the spirit of a sound mind that God has given you, you are a whole lot smarter than you think you are. Okay? You can go beyond human capacity because you're connected with the Holy Spirit who knows all. And you have that ability when you step into those kind of a position or those leadership roles or those kind of things. That's why I say don't wait to be qualified. You know, whether it be in the world or in the church or whatever, don't wait to be qualified. God already made you that, okay, by Him being in you. Just wait till He empowers you, and that's what it is. It's just receiving what He's already given you. Okay, quit letting fear hold you back. Jesus Christ is not a dummy. If you remember His conversations, every time His thoughts and His words, they were extremely strategic, spoken in exactly the right time and place to accomplish God's will. Okay, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that. God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Remember that one thing that held the people of God back from receiving the promises that God wanted to give them? They thought that God hated them. They did not understand the love that He had for them. See if you can put this connection together with fear and love. Because 1 John 4:18 tells us the answer. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment, he that feareth is not yet made perfect or mature in love. Perfect love casts out fear. So when these guys got to that point, but they didn't believe God loved them, it allowed that fear to rise up and keep them from what God wanted them to do. Understanding God's unhindered love for you removes those barriers. It removes a blockage so that you can then receive the blessing of God. You're allowed to walk in total confidence, not in your own abilities, but standing on the promises of God. God promised, God loves me. That's all I got to know. I can go forward now in victory and in standing strong. God has prepared you for this day. He has built you for success. He has given you the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind because perfect love casts out all fear. That word perfect comes from the word used for sanctification. Anybody know what being sanctified means? It means being set apart for God's glory. In other words, it is perfect love that sets you apart. When you understand His perfect love, you know that you are special. Okay? You are blessed. You are precious in God's eyes. You know that you are prized in God's eyes. You are precious to Him, and you know that He thoroughly enjoys giving you His kingdom and everything in it. Perfect love casts out fear because you know there's nothing you cannot do with Him inside of you. You can fulfill your God-given destiny. You can be successful. You can thrive in your workplace. You can thrive in your family and in your relationships. You can succeed in every area of your life. The key is to believe by faith the promises of God, including the promise of His love for you. Understand the love that He has for you is not held back in any way. He loves you unconditionally. And we access that unconditional, unhindered, unearned favor and grace and love of God by faith. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access now by faith into this grace or this favor wherein we stand. We're in it. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we can glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience hope. Next verse. And experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Remember early on, before the service even began, we talked about the Holy Ghost, that Jesus said, I'm going to give you another comforter so that my peace I give unto you, my peace I leave with you. He gave it to us in the form of the Holy Spirit, who is the one that sheds the love of God across our hearts. Now, I don't know about you guys, when I eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, some people put all the peanut butter right in the middle and then they kind of tear the crust off and eat the center. I like to take the peanut butter and smear it from one edge to the other. Get it all the way out there to the edge and eat the entire thing. When it talks about shedding the love of God across your heart, that's what he's doing. He's getting it in the corner, so to speak, so that there's no room for fear. That's the Holy Spirit that does that. It's his imparting that into your heart and spreading his love and that perfect love of God from one side of your heart to the other. He makes it a whole good piece of bread. You know what I'm saying? He makes it right. Knowing that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit can't be separated, it is through the Holy Ghost that love and God's love is imparted and revealed to us. It is through the Holy Spirit, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It is part of the plan that God was doing. Your relationship, as I finish this up, put this connection together. Your relationship with the Holy Spirit and your willingness to receive His power and His comfort has a tremendous impact on how deeply you will comprehend the love that God has for you. Now, I have sought and sought and sought for years to figure out why some people seem to enjoy their relationship with God so much more than others. For some, it's a burden. It's a hassle. It's hard to be a good Christian, so to speak. And others, they just live in love and the plan that God has for them, and they live it out, and it seems to be easy and joyful, and they always seem to have a smile, and they got that twinkle in their eye, and there's something about them. I have concluded that it is strongly influenced by a person's relationship with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit sheds the love abroad in your heart. Okay, the more you pick your feet up off the bottom of the river, so to speak, and just go with the flow of the power of the Holy Spirit, the more you will enjoy His blessing. It is perfect love that casts out fear, and the perfect love of God is what is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost that is given to us. Okay, it is knowing Him intimately that pushes out that love and pushes out the fears because of His love. So when you ask, and we sing the song, How Great is the Love of God? Okay, the love of God is great and greater than all. The Bible says in another place, we just don't have time to go through it all, about the power of love itself. Love conquers all. And so when love casts out fear, we know that when we want to walk in a place of fearing not, where we walk in confidence with God, we walk strong with our head held high, things of the past are not going to hold us back, those mistakes are back there. That was then, this is now. God's love for me is right here, right now, and is ever present. I can start right here receiving and walking in that love of God. The Holy Spirit is ever present to brush it to the corners a little bit more and to make that fear get out of there in every area so that you can walk in a confidence towards Him. It is through Him and through that love that He has given unto us that we walk in all that God wants for us. Amen. Amen. Father God, we praise You this morning. Coming together before You in Your presence, Lord, learning about You and Your Spirit, Your love, and the power, the soundness, all the things that You have given and blessed us with. Your Word literally says, You have not given us a spirit of fear, but You have given us power and love and a sound mind. And Father, I pray that as we go forth from here, that we walk in a confidence, not in our own abilities, but in You and Yours, strengthened by You and Your Spirit, shedding Your love abroad in our hearts, keeping it full of You and that love that You have for us, so that we can receive, believe and receive all the gifts and the blessing the favor, the greatness, the goodness that you want to give unto us. Father, we praise you for it, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name who has made it possible. In Jesus' name we praise you. Amen. Amen.